Heavenly Father, this is your message spoken through my mouth, and therefore I pray that you will nourish our spirits through your word and help us to grow to be more like you. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Romans 15, verse 30 to 33, the message. I have one request, dear friends. Pray for me. Pray strenuously with and for me to God the Father, through the power of our Master Jesus, through the love of the Spirit, that I will be delivered from the lion's den of unbelievers in Judea. Pray also that my relief offering to the Jerusalem believers will be accepted in the spirit in which it is given. Then, God willing, I'll be on my way to you with a light and eager heart, looking forward to being refreshed by your company. God's peace be with all of you. Oh, yes. The preceding verses in the chapter, I'll just summarize verses 22 to 29 of Romans 15. Paul plans to go to Spain, visiting the believers in Rome on the way. But before that, he is taking a gift to the believers in Jerusalem. From the last few chapters of Acts, we see that Paul went to Rome from Israel via a shipwreck, some islands, and other ports along the way. I'll just pinpoint a few highlights. Acts 19:21. Afterward, Paul felt compelled by the Spirit to go over to Macedonia and Achaia before going to Jerusalem. And after that, he said, I must go on to Rome. Then Acts 21:15, after this we packed our things and left for Jerusalem. Acts 21:33, then the commander arrested him and ordered him bound with two chains. He asked the crowd who he was and what he had done. Acts 25:9-12, then Festus, wanting to please the Jews, asked him, Are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there? But Paul replied, No, this is the official Roman court, so I ought to be tried right here. You know very well I am not guilty of harming the Jews. If I have done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But if I am innocent, no one has the right to turn me over to these men to kill me. I appeal to Caesar. Festus conferred with his advisers and then replied, Very well, you have appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar you will go. Acts 27:1. When the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. Acts 28:14-15. There we found some believers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters in Rome had heard we were coming, and they came to meet us at the Forum on the Appian Way. Others joined us at the Three Taverns. When Paul saw them, he was encouraged and thanked God. So we see that Paul's plans were to go to Spain and visit Rome on the way there, but God's plans were a direct link from Israel to Rome and free transport provided by the same Roman emperor who was not known to be nice to Christians. And yet here he's providing one of the early Christian missionaries with free transport on his last mission journey. I'm wondering what went through Paul's mind when he got arrested in Jerusalem, his plans to go to Rome and Spain, but he didn't lose faith, obviously, because he was still praying for the people in the shipwreck and God saved all the lives of those on board, even though the ship itself was lost. So this confidence that he had in God's good plans comes from Proverbs 16 verse 9, NLT. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And that same scripture in Smith's literal translation, the heart of man will purpose his ways, and Jehovah will prepare his steps. Note that the literal translation says and, not but. So we make our plans according to how we understand God's leading and guiding. And if there are any gaps in our revelation or in our hearing or understanding of God's leading, then God will tweak those plans to make our steps fulfill his plans. Because when we submit to him, then he directs us. That's in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Years ago, when I was working for our local church as a pastoral assistant, I was not only worship leader and database administrator, church secretary, but I was also doing visitation on behalf of our senior pastor at the time. And during that time, I read a book called Hinds Feet on High Places by Hannah Hernard. Now, God knows what revelation you need and when you need it. Because I'll just read the summary from Wikipedia. It is the story of a young woman named Much Afraid and her journey away from her fearing family and into the high places of the shepherd, guided by her two companions' sorrow and suffering. It is an allegory of a Christian devotional life from salvation through maturity. It aims to show how a Christian is transformed from unbeliever to immature believer to mature believer, who walks daily with God as easily on the high places of joy in the Spirit as in the daily life of mundane and often humiliating tasks that may cause Christians to lose perspective. And while I was the pastoral assistant, I believed I was doing what God wanted me to do, what God had called me to do. And then our pastor said I must take a month's sabbatical, a month's leave. And I was initially horrified that I was being stopped from doing what I believed God wanted me to do. But because of this story of Hinds Feet on High Places, I could accept and enjoy my much-needed rest because Christian workers can burn out. So he recognized that and put me on a month's leave. So in the story, this lady goes heading for the mountains, and the road takes a turn away from the mountains through valleys and deserts and stuff, and she can't understand why God, her shepherd, she calls him the shepherd, is leading her in the wrong direction. And yet, in the end, that supposed detour taught her a lot of stuff and allowed her to grow and learn things as a believer. And the road did turn amongst all the turns and twists and unexpected developments. And it did eventually get to the very mountains that she had been headed for, that she basically lost sight of while she was in the desert and in the valley. As far as I can remember, it has been many years since I read that book, so forgive me if I'm remembering it incorrectly, but that's the important part that I remember that helped me in the time that I had to take a step back from my God-given calling at that time to take a break and, well, you could call it a desert experience if you like, but it was a much-needed break so that you don't have spiritual and or emotional burnout. And so I encourage you, again, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take, which includes shining a light.